question is, what will the big American stores do about dangerous labor conditions at their overseas suppliers?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. This morning, Walmart, Target, Gap, and a bunch of other U.S. apparel companies are expected to announce their plan to protect Bangladeshi garment workers. They declined to join a global deal with European retailers like H&M after the factory collapse that killed more than 1,100 people. Kate Davidson reports.
U.S. retailers were criticized for sidestepping that legally binding pact. They said they were concerned about cost and liability. Judy Gerhardt is executive director of the International Labor Rights Forum. She says the pact was a sea change.
It has a binding commitment for companies that sign on, which means that they can't just walk away when they decide that it's too challenging.
Under the agreement, disputes can be settled through binding arbitration. The details of the U.S. plan haven't been released, but reports say it centers on a $50 million fund to improve factory safety. UC Berkeley professor Dara O'Rourke says that's not much, considering Bangladesh's $20 billion garment industry. He says Europe set the bar high.
Really, only question is, will the U.S. response prove that they can solve problems in Bangladesh better, faster, more efficiently?
Former Senators George Mitchell and Olympia Snowe helped shape the new agreement. They'll also help announce the details this morning. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
The British banking giant Barclays is going after money laundering that can also feed terrorism. It's shutting down 200 little outlets that immigrants use to send cash back home. This could be hard on people in developing countries who depend on that money. Marketplace's Stephen Beer joins us live from London. Stephen, pretty drastic action.
Well, Barclays has tightened up its anti-money laundering regulations following the massive $1.9 billion fine that another British bank, HSBC, had to pay for money laundering violations. So 250 money service companies have now failed to comply with Barclays' new rules, so Barclays, from today, is refusing to do business with them. 100 of these carry out this vital task of sending remittances from migrant workers in Europe, especially back home to Africa.
Which country gets hit the hardest in all this? Tell me.
Somalia. Somalia is certainly the worst hit. It's been shattered and smashed to pieces for 20 years. The country doesn't have a banking system. It's heavily dependent on these money transfers from the outside world. Here's the BBC's Africa editor, Mary Harper.
A recent study by the United Nations found that close to half the population of Somalia depended on these remittances for basic food, medicine, and education.
It's not just individuals remitting money to Somalia. Aid agencies use the system too. So does the BBC, in fact, to pay its reporters. The Barclays says there are other money service organisations operating in Somalia, but the BBC says there's only one. So a real lifeline is being cut today.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you very much, Stephen. Now let's do those numbers. The FT 100 in London is down 0.3%. The Nikkei fell 0.4%. Index futures in the U.S. are down just slightly after the Dow's 75-point rise on Tuesday.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
One of the top-selling self-help books in China is written by an American. Joy Chen, a former corporate headhunter, wrote the book Do Not Marry Before Age 30, specifically for the Chinese market. The book encourages Chinese women to put off marriage to develop themselves and their careers. As Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, that message has really hit home.
Joy Chen's path to celebrity in China started with a blog she wrote from home in L.A.
The blog was all about helping you understand the inside skinny on how to get to the top in global companies.
It gained a large following from young Chinese, so large that China's top publisher took notice.
They came over and said, the Chinese market especially needs a book to encourage women. Young women today, the white collars, are facing many, many challenges in their lives.
Chief among them, being pressured by your family to hurry up and get married. If Chinese women don't marry by age 30, they're often labeled leftover women. Leta Hong Fincher is a PhD candidate in sociology at Tsinghua University and author of the forthcoming book, Leftover Women. She says China's government has made the term popular through the state media.
It's basically a scaremongering campaign to try to pressure these women who are educated and so-called high quality to hurry up and get married before they become too old.
At a recent stop in Beijing, Joy Chen meets with a group of fans. She offers them pointers on how to find Mr. Right. Her advice has made the book one of the best-selling self-help books in China, and the state-run All China Women's Federation declared Chen Woman of the Year last year.
They'll try to create a smallish event for 200 or 300, and then over 1,000 people come in, and it's practically a stampede to get in.
One of those fans is Irina Dai. She works at a state-owned enterprise. She says reading Chen's book prompted her to get out and meet new friends and to stop giving in to pressure from her family to marry.
They keep asking, why aren't you married yet? My cousins who are younger than me are already married, and they wonder how come I'm still alone at this age.
Dai is 25 years old, and being called a leftover woman is no longer something that scares her. In Beijing, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And the most market-sensitive thing on the schedule is the plan released later today of the minutes of the Federal Reserve's last policy meeting. Will the turgid prose yield hints about how fast the central bank will stop its bond-buying stimulus? Which brings us to Fed Chairman Bernanke's future. The other day, an economic analyst told us here that Bernanke may not want to stay on past January since he works such long hours that his pay rate is less than minimum wage. Just an analyst being cheeky, but it prompted a great note from Andy Thompson, a listener in Minneapolis. If anyone's curious, he writes, Bernanke makes just under $200,000. Even if the Fed chairman works 24 hours a day with no vacations, that's $22.80 an hour, not minimum wage in this country. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.